Okay, we're back on Buckets of Books. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. I guess we've been on hiatus. Alice was at Creative Writing Program, and we both have read a lot this summer, it sounds like, and excited to dig into it.
Yeah, me too.
So, a while ago, in June, I read Housekeeping by Marilyn Robinson, and I loved it. This must be one of my favorite books of the year. It is this just really gorgeous literary fiction story. It's these two sisters who everybody kind of in their life has left them. They never knew their father. Their mother committed suicide. Their grandfather died. He was on a train that went into the lake, and the mother committed suicide by driving into the lake, and the grandmother died of old age, and there were two like great aunts who come in, and finally the last relative who comes to take care of them is their aunt, who's like very zany. She's kind of like a hobo, but they've practically always lived in this one gorgeous house this whole time, even though they've had all these different caregivers. And
how old are they?
They're kind of growing up in the book, okay. But I think like when it starts, they're like elementary school, and when it ends,
young.
They're
okay.
Teenagers. Yeah. But just the sense of place is so gorgeous. The house, like you really get a sense of like the quirky lifestyle they lead through the details. Like they have like leaves and birds and sometimes feral cats in the home. There's this orchard that I can see vividly and has some pivotal scenes in. But really, like, the big thing is this lake. It's in Idaho, I believe. You know, their whole multiple members of their family have died from it, and it's described so lovely. And you know, it comes and it floods the home, like it's a constant backdrop for their family drama. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time I've ever read a book that like really reminded me of my draft, my manuscript.
Oh.
Because of this, everything being so rooted in this lake and the family drama and sometimes literal drama with like drownings and things happening around this lake and this rural place with like really backbreaking weather. And it was gorgeous and really resonated with me, but also made me angry because I'm like, oh, this is like my book, but way better, you know, just like way better written. It's just on a sentence level, gorgeous.
You and I always love the setting heavy books. That's my favorite genre is setting. That sounds really cool. I can't remember the last time I read a book with elementary schoolers in it. As like, I don't know, that sounds really cool, especially if they grow up.
Yeah. And the sisters kind of grow apart too. At the beginning, I was kind of like, why is there a sister? Why isn't this just about her? They seem kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But then as time goes on, the protagonist becomes more like the aunt, kind of zany, like not as attached to the physical place anymore, but the sister wants to like start being fashionable and make friends with people outside and not be kind of an isolated weirdo like their aunt is. And so that did make sense, but like I read this a month and a half ago. I don't even remember those two girls' names, you know, but like what really stood with me is the setting. Like you say, it's really important to us, and I like it when the setting feels like a really strong character in the story.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's like, I don't know what it is. It's just like my memories of just like life are very rooted in places, and like the places being so much a part of what I'm experiencing, that like I can't imagine a book where it's like the setting is secondary to whatever else is happening.
But I think for me at least, like I'll get inspired by a place, and then sometimes I do have a hard time coming up with the plot to match. Like, mm-hmm. I usually do setting and then character and then plot. And then I find myself having a hard time making the plot not feel contrived, not feeling like, oh, there's a death, you know? Like,
yeah, totally.
So there is kind of a downside of that style of writing.
I know, it's hard to... I just want to, like, write about fun places and not worry about plot.
And you do that, too, because you do, like, your beach, and then you have, like, your friend, your group dynamics, you've got them figured out, but then we talk about the same thing. It's hard to figure out what their conflict is when you already have everything else so spelled out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this book was not very plot-heavy. There was some, but you were just kind of, like, following them along and picking up on their lives as they kind of grew up. But most of, like, kind of the drama, like, this big train accident and the suicide happened, you know, before mm-hmm. the events of the story, really.
That sounds really cool. I totally want to read that. I read...
Yeah, you would like it.
Yeah, I totally want to. Most recently, I read Cloud Cuckoo Land, which was, like, it came out a little while ago, and it was, like, pretty big for a while, I think. I was really excited to read it. I had, like, heard a lot about it, and it's basically this, like, it's, like, a thick book. It's, like, over an inch of pages, I think, which I don't usually like, but it's four different timelines. Three different timelines. One of them is, like, our world, like, in 2020 in Idaho, and so each of the three timelines has two different characters within it. And so it's, like, it's a lot of this, like, overlapping stuff. And basically, it's, like, this story called Cloud Cuckoo Land exists in the world of the book. And each three timeline, like, sort of exploring the play. So it's, like, our world in Idaho where these children are at a library, like, putting on Cloud Cuckoo Land as a play. And then the other perspective is this teenager in the same town who's going to bomb the library where these children are. And then we, like, jump to the future, and it's this, like, hundreds of years in the future, like, post-apocalypse and all of that, and it's on a spaceship. And this girl is, like, totally alone, totally isolated, and we don't know why. She's in a spaceship, and she's trying to remember, like, what Cloud Cuckoo Land is, like, what this story is that her dad told her. And then in the very beginning, like, the earliest timeline is, like, the fall of Constantinople, and they're trying to save this copy of... One of them is trying to save this copy of Cloud Cuckoo Land, even though she doesn't really know what it is. And then one of them is, like, the one who's fighting and attacking the city. So it's, like, all of these, like... Usually I like that sort of, like, very... You know, all of these different pieces, and then it's like, oh, it's all about this one book that everybody loves, and, like, the connection from each story is the book. And by the end, I was really liking it, and I was enjoying it, but it's, like... There were certain perspectives that I just never enjoyed reading, which happens... I think that happens a lot when there are multiple perspectives that, like, there's just... There are just better ones or just ones that I like more. But it was... There was just, like, so much happening that there was so much exposition, and then it sort of just, like... It took me, like, half of the book before the story actually started. And it's so, so, so long. It's, like, 600 pages or something, which is just, like, so many pages to be reading when only half of it is enjoyable. But I don't know, I had very high expectations, so I think that might have been part of why I didn't love it so much. I don't know, it was interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Seems kind of hard to follow, or definitely, like, creative at least, but if all those threads didn't work together in a way that was satisfying. I mean, I think the expectation for fantasy and science fiction is... longer, but it shouldn't feel longer. It should feel like exactly. You're going on this adventure that's a page turner, not like you have to wait so long for the story to start.
Mm-hmm. And the connection was clear. Like, I did understand, okay, here's the book in this version, here's this book, and then here's the book 20 years from now. But, like, it just, there wasn't really, I don't know, I didn't see, like, the point to this connection. And, like, okay, they're all centered around this book, but, like, so what? Like, it means a lot to all of them, but, like, I don't know. It was strange.
So the only common thread was the book? The plots didn't eventually come together?
Yeah, only the book. They all interacted with the book at some point, and, like, the book did drive their plots forward. Like, the library is putting on a play of this. And then, like, in the future, this is, like, how she's stopping herself from, like, going crazy in isolation. And in the past, it's, like, she is escaping the city and all she has is this book with her. But, like, no one realizes the importance of the book in their world. It's, like, we, the reader, are, like, oh, my gosh, this book has traveled for centuries and centuries. And it's so poetic and it's so, like, it means so much to so many people. But they, in their world, are, like, oh, it's just, like, a story that I read at some point.
Yeah. Do you get to, like, read the book itself at all? Like, do you know what the plot or the writing is like? Is it separate?
We don't read it because it's, like, the whole point is, like, it's been lost in translation and all of that. But the people putting on the play, like, we get to see the play, and so we, or have it described to us, like, we know. It's also a weird story. It's, like, the book Cloud Cuckoo Land is, like, they, this man is turned into a donkey, and then he's turned into a fish, and then he's turned into a bird, and then he has to, like, read all of human history. And so we do know, like, what the story is, but we don't ever read it ourselves, and it's sort of just like, we read a lot of descriptions of people reading the book, but we never read it ourselves.
Yeah. That reminds me of the book I'm currently reading, which I guess I won't bother to save, but Cloud Atlas, which is, like, it's spanning across multiple time periods with different characters that aren't really connected to each other, except barely, and each time that we move on to a new character in a new time period, there is, like, some sort of archival, like, book kind of element. Like, yeah. The first one is this guy, like, in the 1850s on a ship, and he's writing his diary. And then it totally shifts. It stops mid-sentence from his diary. You don't know what happens to him. And then, like, yeah, I thought a page was missing at first. It stops mid-sentence, and then the next section, you're in, like, Austria in the 30s. And then, you know, you're like, what does this have to do with anything? But then kind of deep into that, like, that character is like, oh, yeah, and I found this journal in the library. Like, don't know what to make of that. And in the next one, it's, like, in the 70s, and, like, there's kind of, like, a common character, but it's about a different character, and she, like, finds this music that the other guy composed, and it's, like, I don't know, I'll have to see how it all ends up coming together, but, it made me think of it when you said, sometimes the threads just aren't gonna be good, and you're not gonna be enjoying them, and I think that that's true, even though I think I'll like the idea eventually when it all comes together.
That sounds cool. I like the idea that it's, like, actually different items each time. It also reminded me of a book I read, like, years ago. Girl in Hyacinth Blue, which I think I've mentioned on the podcast. It's about this, like, Vermeer painting and then all of its owners in the past, like, 200 years. And I actually really like that book because it's not about the painting. It's just about, like, their lives, and they happen to have owned the painting at some point in time. What I just read, Cloud Cuckoo Land, it was a lot about the book itself, and I wasn't so interested in the book itself, but I like what you just described, where it's, like, these very, like, I don't know, like, 7 degrees almost, but, like, across strangers in history.
Yeah, I tend to like that, like, sort of the archival feel, like, in Handmaid's Tale at the end, where they find, you know, the record of Offred. I haven't totally made up my mind, though. I like the idea, but it's kind of taking a while. I don't love all the characters, so we'll see. But that also reminded me of The Magicians, which I read through you. And in that one, it's like, you know, they're kind of, like, into that children's book, and that affects, like, the fantasy element. It ends up being true, but not completely true, so, like, all creative ideas along the same lines, but executed differently.
Yeah. I forgot about how Magicians is also so centered around this almost Narnia. But I love, right. I really liked that book.
That book wasn't my very favorite. I think we already talked about it, but I did like that aspect. Yeah. Like, the idea of somebody being kind of like obsessed with this fantasy series, as we all do. And that felt very real. And then it ended up being real, but also like how the real version was different from what he had read. So I like this idea of like playing with fiction and historical connections, like writing within writing, but it can be hard to pull off well, I suppose.
Yeah. Last part on this, I also finished reading Station 11 recently, which is about like America post, not even America, the whole entire world post pandemic that wiped out everybody essentially, which is like weird to read now because it was written like a couple years ago and it was, I don't know, it was kind of freaky. But it's about this traveling theater troupe who goes around performing Shakespeare, because they just like haven't memorized, or that's like all that's left in the world sort of is Shakespeare. Not that it's all that's left, but it's just what they had access to. And so it's like all, it's not really, it's not about Shakespeare at all, but it is about them performing Midsommar over and over and over, and like Hamlet and King Lear over and over and over. And it's also like, which I really liked that. And it's not at all centered on the stories themselves. The stories are just like, or the plays are just like secondary to the plot, but they are like this very tangible connection to what's happening in the world.
Yeah, that sounds good too. I like when authors like, you know, it's one thing to just like be great at world building and to create kind of like a standard adventure plot like that, but then to like take things one step further and be like, this isn't a story about this pandemic that wiped everybody out, but this is, you know, just mm-hmm. one facet of life and that world that you already built. I think that sounds impressive.
I think you would like it. It's by Emily St. John Mandel, and I really, I know, it's very just like this sweeping like picture of what life is like for this theater troupe, which obviously I love the theater references, but it's really, that was good. I would recommend that heavily and not Cloud Cuckoo Land.
But. Okay. It feels like, you know, we always say like we're not really that into sci-fi and fantasy, but it seems like you've been reading a lot lately.
I feel like I do like sci-fi and fantasy. I don't know. I wouldn't ever go searching for it, but when I do read it, I do like it.
Yeah. It always just kind of falls into my lap too. Sometimes mm-hmm. through you, but I trust you on it.
This was a long episode, but I think some good recommendations overall.
Yeah, we had to get a few of our reads in there since it's been so long.
We'll be back next week on Buckets of Books.